Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, I'll get you one of these schedules. Everyone that reads the Bible through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free of charge. Fun, food, and fellowship. Brother Jeremy, would you pray for us, please? Yes. Please.
This morning, pray that you be with everyone and every kid, downstairs, every teacher downstairs, Father. Pray that we would just receive the message that you have for us this morning, not just hear it, but to take it in and let it change us, Father, that we leave here not the same way we came, Father. And this I ask in the most sweet moment.
Amen. 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 Thank you. We've been in the book of Genesis for a few months now, and I hope we've learned that the first 11 chapters, the first book of Genesis, is true. Every word in it's true. It's God's word. And then we looked at 12 through 36, the second book of Genesis, about the patriarchs. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and the second book of Genesis is true. Then we started the third book of Genesis with Joseph, our hero, and I know we're excited about it, because in chapter 36, we learned that Esau had a lot of hope in religion. We'll look at that a little bit more today, maybe. And we learned that Jacob in 37:2, these are the generations of Jacob, Joseph. I'm excited about that, and I want to get to that. I want to get to where Joseph is a picture of Jesus.
Yeah.
But for today, you got a handout. If you'll hold on to it, we probably won't get to it today. We'll look at something else today. Chapter 38 was homework, and the short version of it is Judah. Committed adultery with his daughter-in-law Tamar, or you might want to look at it, Tamar committed adultery with her father-in-law, Judah. And if you could only come to Sunday school one time, I'd rather you come next week than this week. Yes, the gospel still works, and Brother Marcus delivered it so wisely. What he did was, for about 30 minutes, he told us where we were wrong. He went over the Ten Commandments and told us how everybody's broke all 10 of them.
Yeah.
Then he spent about 20 minutes telling us about judgment and Revelation, and then in Corinthians 6, and what categories is going to be judged.
Yeah.
Then he told us about the King, the Messiah, the death, burial, and resurrection. First, he delivered the bad news, which the good news wouldn't mean anything if we didn't know the bad news. Today, I hate to tell you this, today's the bad news. Today's the bad news. Let's start out there in 38 a little bit. It said it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brother. I'm just going to say he got out of church.
Yeah.
We said Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus, but I also want to say we're studying about the brothers here and we're learning about us.
Yeah.
Now, it might not be you, but I'll go ahead and tell you, Brother Rick identifies with the brothers. Which, let me just go ahead and tell you also, they're a bunch of deadbeat, cutthroat murderers, liars, and just 38's just a picture of one of them. We go back in 34, and Levi, and Simeon, and some others, all of them really are deadbeats, and cutthroats, and murderers, and deceivers, and liars, and tricksters, just like Rick. And in 34, they killed a whole community. Murdered a whole community. Well, they murdered the men, they stole the women, they stole the cattle, stole the children.
Yeah, pretty right.
Yeah. See, man says this man did something wrong, and that makes him a sinner. God says, he knows the truth, and he says, Brother Rick's a sinner, and he will do something wrong.
Right. That is right.
Yeah.
Now, we're depraved. We're not totally depraved like the Calvinists. We can call on God. He tells us to in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Fallen man might even be aware of God. But the Lord only saves the ungodly. That's the only kind of thing. Let's look at Jeremiah 16:12. I can identify with this. You've done worse than your fathers.
Yeah.
See, we're not evolving, we're devolving. That's according to the Bible. We are not getting better. Ye have done worse than your fathers. And he goes ahead and tells us why. For behold, ye walk everyone after the imagination of his heart, that they may not hearken unto me. See, we don't like to listen. The preacher tells us that on a regular basis. We don't listen. And I learn and see and understand where my problem is. I don't listen. I don't listen. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and not regular wicked, desperately wicked. Who can know? Well, whose heart, Brother Rick? Well, it's the good news is it's my heart. The bad news is it's your heart. I hate to tell you that. Isaiah 1:5. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. See, we're sin sick. And the whole heart is faint or ready to quit and give up. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That's what the Bible says. Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not short. It's not His problem. It's not His fault. His hand's not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities, Brother Rick, your iniquities, not the Lord's, it's not the Lord's fault. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God and your sins and have hid His face from you that He will not hear you. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. That's what the Bible says. 64:6, Isaiah. But we are all an unclean thing. And all of our, I'm talking of our righteousness. I'm talking about up front with my tie on Sunday morning in Sunday school. All of my righteousness, the best I can do, not the worst, the best I can do is filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf. We're all falling down, Brother Tom. We're all old men, Brother Tom. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. There's none that calleth upon my name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Of our iniquities, because of mine iniquities. It's what the Bible says. Psalm 14:3. They are all going aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Numbers 32:23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. Be sure your sin will find you out. And that's what we've been seeing in Genesis. Jacob's chickens have been coming home to roost. Judas is going to come home to roost. The brothers are going to come home to roost. See, Jacob did not count on the brothers. He didn't depend on the brothers. He wasn't hoping in the brothers.
Right.
He didn't trust the brothers. He didn't trust in the brothers. He didn't rely on the brothers. He didn't even believe the brother. And by the way, sisters are in here too. Everybody knows girls are meaner than boys.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. We're not going to try to prove that today.
Yeah.
See, the brothers need supervision.
Yeah.
I might say that about Brother Jared. Well, Brother Jared,
He needs supervision. That's all it's going to help him.
Yeah.
And he might say that about me. We do that back and forth. Well, I got good news this morning. The day the Lord saved me, He moved in my heart and He's supervising me.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit moved inside and we got help and we got hope. Now the brothers did. I'm talking about the natural man right now. See, and the Lord Jesus Christ already did it. See, God's not counting on me. He counted on what the Lord did. I'm counting on what the Lord did. The Lord's not counting on us. He's counting on what the Lord did. And the Lord already did it. Jacob was counting on Joseph. And the Father's counting on what the Son did. See, Adam and Eve embarked on a tempest-tossed, shoreless sea without a compass or a rudder or a helm. When Adam and Eve fell, they went into something brand new. They went out into a sea, S-E-A, on a raft, if you will, and there was no place to land. There was no hope for it. There was no way to steer it. They just stepped out. They just stepped out. And see, that's our great-great-grandparents. Sin is insanity. It's crazy. It's crazy. Pride resents the authority of the big C creator.
Yes.
And devises a program of substitutes. All around this morning, there's religious people. Got all these rules to prop everything up. To hold everything together. And we invent. We imagine these dukes. They start off with dukes. And then they're going to get kings. And all these things that we need to help prop us up and hold us up. Some say man is dirt and cannot be saved. Some say he's divine and need not be saved. Some say there's a little spark of goodness in every man that only needs fanned to come alive. Well, that's a devil's lie. That's an evolution lie. Let's try 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's what I'm talking about, the natural man. I'm talking about the brothers. I'm talking about the way we're born. See, we're probably not as bad as we can be. You didn't rob any banks this week, and you didn't shoot anybody this week. But we are as bad off as we can be. I'm talking about a lost person. We may have many morals, but no sinner has the power to please God. We must have Jesus. We must have the substitute that God provided, not one we made up, invented, and imagined. John 5:42. But I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. See, I can identify with that. I can remember that. Romans 7:18. But I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. This is Paul talking. Best Christian that ever lived. He said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. That's what Paul said. Romans 8:7-8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Right.
See, the law is my best friend.
Right.
The law pointed me to Christ.
Right.
Now, yes, yes, yes. Romans 3:10. As is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. That means the root word's right. There's none that's right. This is right. God's right. Rick's not. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all going out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. Add all of us together and there's no profit. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. I'm talking about the brothers. We're studying the brothers, but we're learning about Rick. Ephesians 2:12. That at that time you were without Christ. You remember that?
Yeah.
I remember. Being aliens to the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. God's eternal covenant with Christ. We've been hearing about that lately. See, the Father made a covenant with the Son.
Right. That is right.
God's eternal covenant with Christ is real and revealed. He wrote it down, matter of fact. And He's not counting on me. He restores us. He clothes us. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do is take off the old coat. Put on the new. He restores us. He clothes us. He accepts us in the beloved. He provides for us. We haven't got that far along here with Joseph yet, the provisions yet. He provides for us. Everything. Gas money, rent money, my nanners, everything. He satisfies us. I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
He satisfies us.
Yes.
He cures us. See, I was sin sick. We just got through reading from the top of my head to the sole of my foot. I was sick.
Uh-huh.
It was fatal.
Right.
I wasn't going to come out of it.
Right.
He cures us. He cleanses us. To be redeemed, we need the Word of God. The man of God and the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Now Melvin might argue with that. Somebody gave him a Bible and that's all he had. But I think that's all in there somewhere. If we nail it down. In the garden, man and God faced each other daily. They were in fellowship. They talked. Man turned away. So God had to. They face that way now.
Yeah.
On the cross, God turned to man and faced man. And in conversion, man turns to God. And then we're face to face again. Now you can have fellowship. Now you can come to Sunday school for the right reason. Turn from sin to the Savior. It's our only hope. That's what Marcus said. That was our only hope. Grace is divine help for the helpless apart from any and all human effort. Grace. Nothing I've ever done or ever can do helped to give me salvation. Jesus did it all. The Father is counting on what the Son did at Calvary. I'm counting on what the Son did at Calvary. Let's look at Matthew 5. Now, we're not under the law. We're under grace. Hope everybody in here is saved. That was about the natural man. That right there. Let's look at... Sometimes people ask me how I'm doing. I said, not very good. I was born that way. And then I'll say, but I got born again.
Yeah.
I got born again. And see... We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. Let's see what Matthew says about that. A little bit of red letters now. How about some red letters? Under grace. Matthew 5:21. You have heard that it's said of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say, and to you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rakah, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. See, under grace, things tighten up a little bit, really. But it's free will. This is what we do because we want to. This is what we want to do. Verse 27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, like chapter 38, like Judah and Tamar. You've heard that that shouldn't be. 28, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. 31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. 32. Red letter. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her, that is divorced, committeth adultery. 33. Again you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. 34. Under grace, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. 38. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. 39. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say, readily, unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you. It's a tight book. But under grace, it's no problem. It's really easy to do that. It's really easy. We got a little time. Let's go ahead and start on 39. Maybe a little bit of positive. I know that was a lot of negative. And that's just what the Lord gave me. I don't know. 38:1. Judah went down from his brother. He got out of church is what I think. 39. We're in Genesis chapter 39. Here's a little bit of that good part. And Joseph was brought down. Now he didn't didn't go down willingly. He would have stayed at home. He would have stayed in church. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, and an Egyptian bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. I think Joseph decided to be the best slave possible. He wasn't working for Potiphar. He was working for the Lord, as unto the Lord.
Right.
He was brought down. Joseph went down. His service in out. The Lord put him here. We'll see more as we go on. Because working for the warden, he would learn the ins and outs of the Egyptian government, which he's going to need to know pretty soon. Right around the corner. Verse 2. Again. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Well, a slave owns nothing. All he had was whatever he was wearing. But the Bible says he was prosperous. He was prosperous. Well, that's because he had the Lord. The Lord was with him. It's okay if I say if the Lord's with you this morning, you're prosperous. If you got Him, you got everything. Be okay if I said it that way. When I got Jesus is to me my everything, and I bless the day He came. How about that? When we get the Lord, we get everything. We get the farm, we get the John Deere tractor, we get the cattle, on the hills, the tater under the hills, the white house, the big house, the little house. We get everything when we get Him. We've got the Creator. And the Bible says that Joseph was prosperous. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. I'm sure Joseph was uncertain and lonely. Maybe not. I don't know. That's a guess. But he had the Lord. And the Bible said he was prosperous. Prosperous. Number 3, verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Whoa. Can they see that?
Yes.
In me? Oh, man. He saw it. He's an Egyptian and he saw. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph went around whistling and singing. It was showing. I'm not going to sing. I'll forget it. Forget it. In the routines of life, Potiphar saw a witness and a testimony. It wasn't spectacular. He didn't walk on the water. Just every day. Every day. Every day. Living by faith. He prospered as a servant. Deuteronomy 29:9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Pretty simple. Pretty easy. It's really easy. You know, I think I can do that. I bet even I could do that. I'd be prosperous if I do. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord.
There's the key.
Yeah. I don't need more light. I already know more than I'm doing. I need some delight. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what the Bible says. The blessings of God were upon Joseph. Romans 8:28. And we know. You know it this morning. And we know that all this, Joseph's in prison. Owns nothing. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Joseph was there for a purpose. Excuse me. Genesis 50. It's going to become evident real soon what the purpose is. Genesis 50:20. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. God. They had God, and that's all they had. The blessings of God came with Joseph. When Joseph got there, Potiphar's garden started multiplying. When Joseph got there, the cows all had calves. They didn't lose any. Maybe had twins. Nothing is as valuable as the presence of God.
Right.
It made a palace out of a prison.
Right.
Prosperity is what we're talking about. Verse 4, Genesis 39. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. You know, I would have complained. I would have whined and cried and complained. But Joseph didn't. He served him. I'd have been like the brothers. I am a brother. He served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had. He put in his hand. Hey, Joseph is the master again. He's the manager again. He was the manager at daddy's house. Now he's the manager again. He's put back in his rightful position. He pleased the master. He worked diligently. And not for duty, but for victory, for the Lord. John 8:28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. That's what Joseph did. He did whatever the Father told him. Verse 5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Can I go ahead and say there's a little house over now? It's almost 100 years old, and God's blessed the house for Jesus' sake.
Yeah.
Can I go ahead and say that?
Yeah.
It wasn't me. He did. He blessed the others. So did the Lord Jesus. Godly people are the worth of a nation.
Yeah.
Our wealth is not in our gross national product.
Right.
Our wealth is in godly people. That's the wealth of the church. That's the wealth of the home. That's the wealth of the nation.
Yes.
Is godly people.
Yes.
Joseph was a blessing to him. Wherever he went, he brought the blessing with him. Verse 6, and Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. We might find that in, let's read verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." We saw Joseph's service, now his self-control. See it in Matthew 4:1, another picture of the Lord, when the Lord did this, when it happened another time. Matthew 4:1. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That's what's happening to Joseph here in verse 7. And it says, after these things. After Joseph was promoted to where a place of leadership where his testimony meant the most, then the enemy tempted him. He tempted Joseph after his position, after his testimony needed guarded the most. Temptations approach. This is how temptation works. You see it in Genesis 3:6. The advertisements of, let's just say, cigarettes. They don't show you the seventh floor, the cancer floor, the hospital.
Right.
They don't. That one ad, cowboys carrying his saddle, I mean, it even killed the horse.
Yeah.
They don't show you in the liquor advertisements the debauchery over on the other side of town. They don't show you that.
Come on,
it's Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, see, sin looks good. But don't forget, sin's insanity. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. See, I'd say Mrs. Potiphar wasn't ugly. I'd say about like this fruit right here looked pretty good. Genesis 13:10. Probably had designer clothes if she had any.
Yeah.
Genesis 13:10, and Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan that is well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And Lot's choosing with his eyesight is how he's choosing. Joshua 7:21, and it looked good. The land looked good. Joshua 7:21. And when I saw, this is Achan, he saw, coveted, hid everything in a tent, you know that. 2 Samuel 11:2. The eyes, 2 Samuel 11:2. And it came to pass in the evening time that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. He wasn't at war where he was supposed to be. From the roof he saw a woman, Saul. He saw a woman washing herself. And the woman is very beautiful to look upon. Here's the last one. We'll quit for today. Psalm 101. Verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. In Jesus' name, amen.